Welcome to another message from the Gospel according to Luke. We're in the second chapter of Luke. And Luke is a doctor, a scientist, a chemist, a physicist. And he's telling us all of the extreme details of the life of Jesus Christ, that he truly is God in flesh, and that he was of the right lineage to be the Messiah King of Israel. Now, we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus, his birthday. In 2 and 1, we're going to read in Greek, and then we're going to translate it, and then we will read from the Amplified Bible a little bit of an explanation of it. I like that translation. There are no perfect translations. The Greek is perfect. The Hebrew is perfect. All other are translations. Eganatol, Dei en tes, Hemeros, Ikainos, Exelthane, Dogma, Para, Kaisaros, Augusto, Agora Theste, Pason, Tain, Akuo Menane. Now, we're talking about in the days of Augustus Caesar. Caesar Augustus. The name, the month August comes from Augustus. August means prime, premier. It means exemplary, top notch. That's what August means. My Uncle Bill, his name was William Augustus Stewart. Augustus was a name that many people admired because it meant great. Meant great. All right, let's look at the background. After the exile of Herod Archelaus, one of Herod the Great's sons, Publius Sulpicius, they had quite a problem in Palestine, Herod the Great. And Herod the Great is king when Jesus is born. And Judas of Galilee began a zealot movement, the Sicarii. And they put this usurpation, this civil war down. And the Roman Empire decided to know how many Jews there were in his conquered territory. He had called for a census to be taken. A census. Now, from this census is not taxes. They did not tax them. But from this census roll, they taxed the people. Now, this is where we begin. The census roll has been ordered. And that went on from about 27 BC to AD 14 during this census period of time. Now, we'll get into some of these names of the people. Now it became, or it came about, in the days, or during the days, those, it went out an edict, a decree, a dogma. The word is dogma. Our English word dogma comes from this Greek word, from Caesar, from Kaisaros, from the Caesar Augustus. To be enrolled, to be written down, to write from one copy of something to another. In other words, this is an exact public record. This apograptheste. To be written from one set of notes to another as a legal record. All of the inhabited world ruled by Rome. so to speak. Acts 11 and 28 and 17:6 talks about this period of time right here. Verse number 2. Haute apocrypha protein agenato hegomenontes tos te serias carinion. And this is the first enrollment as it became. And the one governing, now remember, this man is, he's a scientist, a physicist, a chemist, a doctor, and he's a legal record. He makes a legal record of everything that he says. This is not hearsay. This is a court document that stands. Today in court, Luke would be considered an expert witness. And this expert witness is not leaving out any details at all. The governing the Syria was Cyrenius. Cyrenius Quirinius at that time was the governor of Syria. And remember, this census was going to be taking place between 27 BC to AD 14. We have the Caesar stated. We have the governor of Syria stated. Now in verse number 3, and then we'll go back and read from the Amplified Bible in a few moments. Kai eporunton pontes apagrafeste hikastos eistein hiauton. And there went out and kept on going out for itself all to be enrolled. Now look at this word, apocrypheste. Now we have this in the last one. This is where the word in English is apocrypha. Apocrypha. To be enrolled. Each and every man unto himself the city, the Pauline. The word police comes from the word Pauline. A policeman is a governor over a city. So each one out, every man was supposed to go to his own city where his family originated. Now 2 and verse 4. Anabe de kai isre, Yosef that is, apotes Galileas, ek polus Nazareth, eistein Judean, eis Pauline David, hetes Caliste, Bethelem, dieto ene, auton ex oikon kai patrias David. And moreover also Joseph. From the Galilee he went up out of the city of Nazareth. Remember, the city of Nazareth means root. Root. Out of a root of dry ground I will call my son. Nazareth. Unto the Judea. Now he tells the state where he's going to go. He tells the city and the county where he's going to. Unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, which means house, Bethlehem, bread. Lehem means goodies, vigils, eats. The house of eats, because that was a place where they had much farming. Because to be him out of the house of the family of David. Out of the house of the family of David. Now we know Mary was a daughter of Judah, of the lineage of Judah, which is a son of David also. And here we have Joseph. Joseph. Joseph means to increase and to prosper. Verse number 5. Apograpteste sin Mariam te em nes tu omine auto usen ek kuo. To be enrolled, to be crossed over, it means to take from one document to the other. Apocrypha, first aorist infinitive middle voice, to be enrolled with Mary, Miriam. The one having been betrothed to him. Remember, they weren't married yet, were they? What does marriage entail? At that time, it entailed a contract, but the marriage was not final and was not in place until after they had consummated the marriage in sexual union. So she actually was not his wife yet, but she was his betrothed. And Gabriel told him to take her to his wife. Don't be afraid to take her to his wife, because the child that was in her was from the Holy Spirit of God. And now she is being pregnant. Use, dative singular, present, present participle active. And a woman is being pregnant for how many months?
9 months.
Okay. In kuo. That comes from the Greek preposition en, and kuo means with child. Instrumental singular feminine. If you want to look that up on the analytical Greek lexicon, it's on page 113. All right, 2 and verse 6. Agenito, de en to ene, autos eke, et pleistason, he hemera, tu techne autain. And it came to pass, and it became, during the to be them there, in that place, that eke there, little adverb, page 123, there in that place, they were filled up. The days of Mary to bear her child. In other words, what's going to happen? She's going to have a baby. She's going to have this baby here in Bethlehem, exactly in the right place where the Messiah King was supposed to be born. Verse number 7. Kai etekain ton huion altes ton proto tokon. Kai espar gan nosen. Auton kai aneklinane. Auton en fatne diote uk en autois topois into kata lamati. And she bore the son, the heir, the firstborn son. A woman only has one firstborn child, period. Of her, the firstborn, the primogenitor, the prototokon, the first in generations, primogenitor. And she wrapped him. Now this means to bandage up, to wrap up. It comes from the sporo go nao. To wrap up. She wrapped him up in cloths. She bandaged him up and she laid him up in a manger, a fatne, a feed trough. Because not it kept on being for them a place in the inn, the kata lamate. Now, what is an inn? Back in these days, I wish I could draw a picture on you. In every city, when people traveled, there was a resting place along. There was what you call a rest stop. And in the rest stops in these areas, they had it was a walled rest stop because there were burglars and pirates and land pirates, whatever you want to call them, all over the country. So a person to sleep and to be safe, you had to go to a rest area. But that rest area was full. Now in a rest area, it's kind of round like this. It has a gate where you go into it. And down out in the middle of that courtyard, that's where the average person stayed. Out in the middle of the courtyard. They would take their camels, donkeys, whatever they had, and they lay down there with them, and everything would be safe. Now, if you were wealthy, around the walled city, there were apartments. And you could go into the apartments if you had enough money to pay for an apartment. But the courtyard and the apartments were all full in the city. And he had to stay out in a cave in the country. Now, I've been to this place in Bethlehem where they stayed. It was a cave. And in this cave, people with the shepherds and the goat shepherds and the cow shepherds and the lamb shepherds or the sheepherds, literal shepherds, all the cowboys, they would go and they would stay in these caves. And they usually had a place in the cave to cook, to build a fire. And there was sometimes even a place, a toilet. Now, I was over in this country, all through this country, in 1975 and 1976, from December 1975 to May 1976. And while I was in Damascus, Syria, and Lebanon, I got dysentery. And I had to stop in some of these homes along the way and go borrow their restrooms. Now, the restrooms are not like our restrooms. The restrooms is a platform about this high, and you walk up on the platform, you squat down over the platform, and down under the platform is a bucket. There's a hole in this maybe concrete area, a hole is in that, and down below that is something, a bucket or a container, to catch the refuse. And that's the bathrooms. Now, in some of these caves, there was a place so you didn't have to go outside. You could have a so-called toilet, which was not running water, but a platform with a hole in it and a bucket down below it. And according to historians, this place had a toilet in it. And there is a star placed over that hole in the floor where Jesus was born. If you didn't know that, now you do. So he was in a manger. She took the manger where they would keep some of the young sheep or goats or something in there out of the weather when it was cold and stormy. They'd bring the youngest or the sickly ones and they would feed them in a manger in this cave. So Jesus was born in a cave. He was born in a cave. Not a caveman, but he was born in a cave because there was no room in the rest area for them to go. No room in the rest area. So let's go and let's read back now because we've come up to a different subject in verse number 8. So let's read 2, 1 through 8 of this chapter. 2, 1 through 8. In those days, it occurred that the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole Roman Empire should be registered. This was the first enrollment that was made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. It tells you the exact people. This is a historical event. This happened. It's not a fictitious story. And all the people were going to be registered, each to his own city or town, where his family was born. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the town of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and the family of David. By the way, the word name David means beloved. Verse number 6, to be enrolled with Mary, his espoused married wife, his espoused to be married wife, who was about to become a mother. And while they were there, the time came for her delivery. Now, might say this. In Jewish history, it tells all about this. It tells about this promiscuous woman married to this old man and that she was a harlot and that this child that was blonde-haired and blue-eyed, because that's what history tells us Jesus looked like, There are more extra-biblical accounts of Jesus' life, miraculous ministry, death, burial, and resurrection than there is in the Bible. Now, the Jews wrote in a hellish, hateful way against him, a blasphemous way against him, but they said that she was a promiscuous woman, that she got pregnant by a Roman soldier, and that she had this blue-eyed, blonde-haired baby. And by the way, Jesus was blue-haired, blue-eyed, and blonde-haired. Pontius Pilate gives you that. Many other people tell you what he looks like. They tell you what he looked like, his description. And while they were there, the time came for her delivery. And she gave birth to her son, her firstborn, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the rest area. And in that vicinity, there were... Oh, that's the next verse. Let's go back to the Greek now. Verse number 8. Now we start on a new story. Kai poimenes. Eison en te kora. Te aute. Agru luntes. Kai phalontes. Phalakas. Tes nictos epi tain poimen auton. And the shepherds. Now these were not ordinary shepherds, by the way. This field near Bethlehem, it's not very far from Jerusalem either. This field near Bethlehem was a place where they kept the sacrificial lambs that they were going to take to be sacrificed, and they would sell them in the temple area there, in the market of the temple area where Jesus went and cleansed it. These are the shepherds, special shepherds, that were risking their lives over these very precious flock of young male lambs. And the shepherds there kept on being there in the Korah, the country. The same living in fields, agroluontes, nominative plural masculine present participle active, agruoleo. English agriculture comes out of this word, agroluontes. Living in the fields, living out there, up this mountain, up here about 8 miles from here, is a place where shepherds used to live. Now, Maryland's friend painted a oil picture of this place, which Marilyn has never seen yet. I'm going to take her there, and I hope it's still there. Back up in these areas are great big meadows back in these mountains, and they would take the sheep up here, and the sheep would live off of this white sage and different types of grasses here and great pastures back up in there. And then this place was a beautiful little meadow with Middle Creek coming down to it. And out there, there are a lot of birch trees. And many years ago, somebody went in there and they made little tables and chairs out of birch wood. And then they took and they made little bridges across Middle Creek here and there. And they had an area up there where they could go relieve themselves, little outdoor toilet, and all kinds of little neat things here in this area where the shepherds lived. And on one of the trees there was a medicine cabinet, homemade medicine cabinet with a mirror inside of it. And this is where the shepherds would shave themselves. The shepherds lived in the field with the sheep. And these people are doing the same thing here. And the shepherds, they kept on living in the country, in the same, living in fields, and guarding, philosontes, nominative plural masculine, present participle active, guarding with their lives to guard through the night over the flock, the poimenane, belonging to them. This flock actually belonged to Israel. This belonged to the priestly division. This was a priestly flock. 2 and verse 9. Kai angelos curiu epeste altois kai doxa curiu peri elampsein autus kai ephobetheson phobon megon. Now, kai angelos. Now, in Greek, there is no indefinite article, no a or and. Now, here, we have got two definite articles that have been left out, but they are practical substance standing into place. And we can translate this, and the angel belonging to the Lord, ho angelos, literally. Now, ho is not there, that's a definite article, ho heristokon or throne in Greek grammar. And then it says kai angelos kuriu. Now, it doesn't say ho angelos here, but the is there. We can translate this and the angel, and then tu kuriu, belonging to the Lord. The case of possession. Nominative singular masculine, definite article, nominative singular masculine, noun that it describes, and the angel. An angel is a messenger, by the way. An angel is a messenger and a servant. A messenger and a servant of the Lord. Belonging to the Lord. He came upon them. He came upon them. Epistemi is what that comes from. It's episte. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative, active. Upon them, dative plural, masculine. Third person pronoun, that autois, and then kai doxa. This doxa here, this is glory, and you can say hey doxa also. There is a definite article there by as a practical substance. The glory belonging to the Lord. Now, that word doxa means to beautify. It means to imagine, literally. And it means to imagine and with great respect and glorification. Comes from Dokio on page 104 in analytical Greek grammar. Now, the Shekinah glory of God, the word Shekinah is not in the Hebrew Bible, but it is there in what we might call as a practical substance also. In Genesis 1 or 2, it says, we ha'aretz, Hathiatohu Vavohu. We hoshuk el panehemayim. We ruah elahem meripacheth el panehemayim. And in this verse it said, and the earth she had become formless and void. And there was darkness over the faces of the deep. And then it says, ruah elahem, spirit God, meripacheth. That word merichipteth is, it is masculine, it is feminine, singular, participle. Feminine, singular, participle. And the word Shekinah means to hover over, it means to nurture, it means to give great honor, glory, respect, terror even. As the Shekinah glory of God rumbled from upon Mount Sinai, Israel saw the glory of the Lord and yet saw it in great fear and respect. That's the word here, doxa. The glory of the Lord, Shekinah glory of the Lord, he compassed and shone around them. Peri lompsein. That's third person singular, first aorist, indicative, active. It means to shine around. We get a word lamp from that. Lompo. Lompo is right out of this Greek word. Peri lompsein. It shone around them, and they were caused to fear, with fear great. Now the Shekinah glory of God calls them to fear great. And up in that little manger, up in that cave, there was the whole glorious person of Jesus Christ, Jehovah of the Old Testament, Kaihologos Sarxagenito, and the Word, the Jehovah, flesh he became, dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 2 and verse 10. Kai epan altois. Ho angelos me phobiste, idu gar euangelizomai, himen karin megalain, hetes estai, ponte to lau. And he said to them, the angel of the Lord, the angel, not you fear, little particle of negation, page 268 there, may, not you fear. We get a word phobia from that word in Greek, is phobio. And phobeste here, second person plural present imperative middle voice. You behold, adon there. You behold, second person singular secondary imperative middle, you behold. See with your mind, for I evangelize to you. Euangelizomai, first person singular present indicative middle voice, euangelizo. And that means the gospel. And it means to announce, mount something. He's going to announce something very important to them. All those sheep they've got out there that they're going to take down to sacrifice are not going to be necessary anymore. That's going to be a thing of the past. Because every one of those sheep that died with their throat slit, an innocent lamb led to the slaughter, all of them typified this Lamb of God that was up there in that cave in Bethlehem. I announce to you joy great, which he shall be to all the common people. Ponte tu lau. Ponte, that little adjective there, meaning all. And then tu lau. This word laos is what it comes from. It means common man, the masses of mankind. The common masses. Now, a body of the people are common people. The Nicolaitans that John wrote about in the book of Revelation, they were people rulers. They were ruling over and conquering people, the laity, Nicolaitans. Now, religion has performed what we call the manipulation of the masses in the world. Manipulation of the masses. But Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, came to the common man to give us eternal glory and hope. Because we're not going to be manipulated by religion any longer. Catholicism, Islam, all of the great major religions of the world that have conquered over and ruled the masses of humanity. The Jesus Church would be separate from the state. It would be a little democracy. Each little single democratic body of believers would make its own decisions under the law of God written in the New Testament. He takes people from a low estate, the common man, to the high estate of being possibly ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. How much higher could that be? Verse number 11. Hote et teis xthe hemen semaron soter hos est in Christos Kyrios in pole David. Because he was been born, he has been caused to born to you this day, soter, Savior. Now, the word soter goes way back yonder. Back to Joseph in Egypt. Joseph in Egypt, in the Greek language, was called soter tou kosmou, the Savior of the world. Because by the vision that God gave to him of the 7 years of lean and 7 years of plenty, that he was able to save the whole known world from starvation. So they called him Ho Sater Tu Cosmu, the Savior of the world. And he was a type of Jesus Christ. And here we have the Savior, Hos, who, nominative singular, masculine, relative pronoun. He is, third person singular, present indicative active, Christos HaMashiach. And you could so say Ho Christos here, the Christ, because we're talking about the Christ. That Ho there, that definite article, to hithristikon, our throne, is there in the language. Even though it's not printed there, it is there. The Christ, the Lord, in the city of David. The Christ, the HaMashiach, the Lord, Jehovah, in the city of David. Verse number 12. Kai tuto hemen, to semion, yurasete, brephos, espar ga no menon, kai kaimenon, in Fatne. And this one to ye is a sign, a semion. This word sign here is supernatural portent. It means proof. It means evidence. It means a supernatural token and expression. It is a supernatural pledge. It is a, what we might say, a convening evidence, 365, of something very important. In analytical Greek lexicon, so on page 65, semion. It's a wonder. It's a portent. It's a proof. It's a supernatural proof that something great is happening. In archaeahen logos, kaihologos, ein proston theon. That's John 1 and 1 in Greek. In beginning, the absolute beginning, when nothing else existed, in eternity past, kept on being the Word. Ein, ho, logos. Kept, and that word logos there comes from the word equivalent of hadavar in the Hebrew. And when after Exodus 20 and verse 7 says, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain, for he shall require it of you, you will pay for it. They would never speak the name Jehovah again, so they referred to him as Hadavar or Hashem, the name. So the whole logos, that Hebraism that John uses there, is kept on being the Word, the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being inseparable part of the Godhead. Then it says, Kaiho logos starts again. And the Word, the Jehovah, fleshy became and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time, verse 18, but the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has led himself out. And here he is, right here, right in our midst. And you shall find him, this Brephos. Now this infant, we get the English word Brephos from that. It means anything from an embryo in a mother's womb, all the way to a very young infant. Having been wrapped and laying in a feed trough. 1 Samuel 2:34, 2 Kings 19:29 and 20 and verse 8, and Isaiah 7:11 through 14 talks about this very event. Now if you're out there and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is the one that came in this world for you. Right here. Let's read from 8 through 12. And in that vicinity there were shepherds living out under the open sky in the fields, watching in shifts over their flock by night. The word nyctos there, we get a word night from that. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord flashed and shone all around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news. I'm going to give you a gospeling you of a great joy which will come to pass upon all common men, all the lower classes. For to you is born this day in the town of David the Savior, not a Savior, but the Savior, who is the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord God of heaven. Micah 5:2. And this shall be a sign for you by which you can recognize him. You will find, after searching, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a feed trough. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out. If there's one out there that doesn't know you this day, your son that you sent as a Savior of the world, so Teter Cosmu. Father, I pray that you send the Spirit out there with this message, that they will be convicted of sin, righteousness, judgment to come, and that they will know that you sent forth a Messiah made of you and made of us. That would lift us common, low people up to the highest state. And Father, forgive me where I fail you.